The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Every single Friday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. I've missed all of y'all. And listen, as always, we have some amazing guests on the program with some really important discussions. First up is Mr. Junior Gilpin, the senior cybersecurity engineer at 800 Tech, who is no stranger to the digital world. And every single time Junior steps on the program, you know we have some really interesting conversations about your security. And again, cybersecurity right now is just as important as the physical security. Right? We know too many people who are getting, you know, scammed online, clicking on the wrong things, or misusing technologies that leave them that can leave them undone. Right. So Junior specializes in governance, risk and compliance, security audits and implementation, and is also a certified data protection officer. Over the years, he's contributed to thought leadership on patch management, end of life software risk, and proactive cybersecurity strategies. And as always, we love having Junior on the program. Junior, what's up, going on, Benjamin? Last time I seen you was in Trinidad. How did that go?
I'm still in Trinidad.
Oh, you're still in Trinidad? Yo.
I'm still in Trinidad.
Oh, my goodness. The man, listen, the man don't want to go back yard, you know. The man still in Trinidad is weeks now. Yo, what was for breakfast today?
Well, you know, the usual, because I'm not really a breakfast guy, so I just grab the usual doubles on the go, so.
You see, well, you got the right thing then. It's how I can get a little double. I can get a little rotel, I can get curry. So how I have to do that is we have a couple of Jamaican spots here. So I'll go to the Jamaican spot, get a little curry over there, but then I have to go to the actual Indian spot, the Indian spots, and go and get some roti and kind of and handle my stories over here. So I wish I had some doubles right now, so I'm envious of you. So, Junior, today we're talking about another important topic, and I think it is very timely. I mean, now I think with so many new AI tools that are on the market, we need to talk about AI security and AI safety and utilizing these tools properly, and how these tools, if misused, can leave companies undone. So I want you to start off by painting us a picture of how AI adoption has evolved in the business space and why it's becoming a critical cybersecurity concern.
All right, so as you know, AI has evolved in almost all sector, all industry, because even us in IT, we use AI. You guys in media probably use AI also. So AI has become a very, we call it now, intrinsic part of us then, are things that we do on a daily basis. Because for me, I like to use AI to do scheduling and planning. Somebody else might use it for a personal assistant. People might use it to modify whatever it is, like input code to get code validation, assist with right, codes for programmers. So we use it every day, and it has become a part of us where we even use it without even knowing, because a lot of these applications that we use, a lot of the applications on our phones, a lot of the computer applications, a lot of the websites we visit are backed by actual AI. So it has become a part of everything we do on a daily basis. So now we're seeing a lot of trends. Like, for example, you mentioned earlier scams. It was this morning, I was watching the Morning Time show when Zach, which is a world-renowned cybersecurity researcher, he was saying that one of the biggest things across the Caribbean and Florida right now is persons using artificial intelligence to scam older citizens. They call it the grandparent scam, basically. Yeah, utilizing voice, like videos and audios of your family member, which would be like your grandkids, and send it to you that they are in distress and they need money. And as a good grandmother or a good grandfather, the first thing you're going to do is want to pay to get your grandchildren out of whatever situation they're in. So that is something that is common across the region right now. So we are trying to make persons aware that these tools are good, and then some of them are also can be used for bad purposes. So we want you to be careful of how you expose all of this information to AI systems.
Junior. You see what you just said there? I have the craziest story for you. I've been in China for the past couple of weeks, right? And I got back this week. So one of the persons I was there with is another person from Trinidad, right? I got back from China Monday night, like 1 o'clock in the morning, right? And I have to say all this for context. I got back like 1 o'clock in the morning, right? 1 o'clock Thailand time. Now, the other person from Trinidad is still on the way in transit to Trinidad, right? I know that. They messaged me when they were in France to say they're in France and ting, ting, ting. But they haven't reached Trinidad. So I go to bed at 1 o'clock, and my phone starts ringing off at like 5 a.m. my time. So I'm still sleeping. I just came from the flight. I'm still sleeping. When I look and I see my phone, I missed 5 calls from the girl from Trinidad. So when the phone rings again, I'm like, I answer the phone. I'm thinking it's an emergency at this point. So I'm like, hello? And I'm hearing the voice. And I'm like, the person I was with from Trinidad, her name is Harmony. I'm like, Harmony? And the voice is like, yes, Karen, I'm in trouble. And I'm like, what the hell? What's going on, right? Junior, I'm like, what do you mean you're in trouble? What's going on? And she's like, she's stranded. Again, remember I told you she's in France.
Yep.
I'm stranded right now. I need help. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, well, what do you need? How can I help you? And she's like, here's where the plot thickens, Junior. The girl is like, I need help. I'm like, well, how can I help you? She's like, remember how you were talking about how we can't get money out of like PayPal and stuff like that? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, right now I don't have, I'm maxed out of US dollars on my credit card. And the only way I can access money is by accessing the money I have in Coinbase. So I'm like, what? So that tripped me up because Harmony knows nothing about any of that stuff, right?
Yep.
So now, Junior, I start to wake up. Like, now I wipe my eyes. I start to wake up now, right? And I'm like, Harmony, I'm like, where can you get the money from? So I grab my laptop, and I'll send this to you after, Junior. I grab my laptop. I turn on the voice recorder. I put the thing on speakerphone, and I record the conversation. I'm like, Harmony, where did you say you're stranded? She's like, pause. I'm in Trinidad. I'm like, you're in Trinidad? I'm like, how could you be in Trinidad when I was just looking at you? Like, I was just seeing you in person. How could you be in Trinidad? She's like, well, I don't know. She's like, you know, because I'm in Trinidad. I'm like, well, where am I? I'm like, where am I right now? She's like, I don't know. The last time I heard, you was in Thailand. I'm like, oh, heck no. I'm like, oh, heck no. Yo, they cloned this girl's voice. And I messaged her one time. I'm like, yo, Harmony, where are you? She's like, I'm still in France. I'm like, that's all I need to know right now. They cloned this girl's voice. How did they know to clone Harmony's voice of all the people?
They're just pulling random. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah, but here's, and again, the story was going good. But the thing is, and I say all this to say, right, because it flows into what you were just saying. The information that was used was so good that if I did not just naturally have these conversations with you, so I'm not, well, first of all, I'm not giving nobody no money. So let's just start with that. I'm not giving nobody no money, right? You cry, you're going to be stranded. Don't call me. So it just prompted me to ask questions and ask little identifying things to realize this is not the person. And then I really started to listen. The voice was cloned.
Yep.
There was like a voice mask and they're pretending to be her.
You know? With video calls also, you know, so once you post a lot of content on social media, they'll extract the videos and actually make actual images or videos of you, and then
that is
use deep fake to, you know, make images and use that to spoof people also. So we're just here trying to get everybody to be aware of these risks, you know.
So let's stay on that point. I just gave you a personal story that happened to me just this week. You then told us about the video aspect, where now they're creating video deep, where they're creating, they're using videos and they're creating deep fakes. What are some of the, what are some of the outcomes that you have seen because of things like voice cloning or some of the deep fakes? What are some of the types of things that are happening that you have seen?
All right, so we've seen case where financial loss was attributed to that, with the recent case with Donald Trump's secretary, where they actually did a video of him. Yeah, man, it was a high-level thing in the media. And we've seen cases where persons actually have been taken to court because they used other persons' content to publish whatever it is. We even saw it with, I think, Sony. Sony was one of the first to be fined for using artificial intelligence in a movie that they were actually going to produce, because the AI would basically look like Karen, and then you're using Karen's image without his permission. So,
wow.
Yeah, there's a lot going on now. So this is the thing we're trying to get companies to really avoid by making these mistakes, because we don't want people to think that we don't want them to use AI, because we...
I don't the most I like was, and my jacket is the sweet rose, yeah, high time season was.
That does manage security like what 800 does. But then they use all their customers' data to actually train their AI. Yeah, I'm not going to use that application, because at the end of the day, you're using potentially sensitive data from another company to train the AI that you're using to secure my organization. And we see it happen with one of them large providers, where after they came out publicly and announced that they were using the data to train AI, they got breached a few days after. So I want to know what happened to all of that there, data that they were collecting on their clients. So these are some of the things you would get us at 800 Techno to question and see if it is aligned with certain legal frameworks or data protection laws, basically.
So how do companies start protecting themselves? So we know, well, for starters, they got to contact 800 Tech, right? But how do companies stay protected in times like this? What are some of the safety nets that you guys would put in place to really, you know, safeguard the companies that you work with?
All right. So if you realize, one of the things, because we have an upcoming webinar in October, on the 22nd of October, I think. Yeah, Wednesday, October 2nd.
Yeah.
We'll have an upcoming webinar, which is, it speaks about from awareness to action, right?
Yeah.
For us, as we spoke earlier, because remember we did a show earlier in the year where we talk about cybersecurity in countries like China, and a lot of the success is attributed towards the media basically promoting security awareness. So I think making companies and business executives aware of all of these things. So I think, like, for example, Freedom 105, 800 Tech is doing a really good job at making companies aware of these risks. So for me, I think the security awareness aspect of it, because oftentimes we tell people the technology is not usually the weakest aspect, because it takes a lot of skill to break technology, but it doesn't really take much skill to break people. So people being the weakest link in the equation, for me, I want us to educate our staff, our customers, to let them know that, listen, for example, you have banks in Jamaica, they'll call you and they'll text you and whatever, but while you're on hold, you'll hear them say, okay, this bank will never call you or text you asking you for your PIN or whatever information. So you as a customer gets a call like that, even if it's AI generated, you know that it's fake, because your bank would have already notified you and let you know that at no point we would contact you to retrieve those information. So I think persons can reach out to us for that awareness training, basically to get them on board or get them up to date with what's happening, not just globally, but even in the region, because there are things happening in the region as it relates to AI, but a lot of persons aren't aware of it.
Wow. Listen, it is getting scary. And I love the point that you made, where it takes a lot of technology to break technology, but it really doesn't take much to beat people. It's a similar sentiment that I echo when I say, we in the Caribbean, we don't have tech problems, we have people problems, right? The technology is no longer the problem. The people, getting people, and it kind of, I think your point and my point kind of meet in the middle, because we have to make the public aware of all of these types of scams and get them to upskill themselves to understand. They understand what physical security is. When you buy a house, they know, let me go get a little alarm system, let me go get a big pit bull, let me go do this. They know what to do for all the physical aspects, but we haven't upskilled to understand what are some of the fundamentals that we need to learn in the digital space. And that's even before the era of AI. That was just, you know, changing your passwords. We still don't even change our passwords or put the right measures in place. So we didn't really upgrade on that, but now we're adding in a whole new level of cyber warfare on people with deep fakes, with the voice cloning. And now if you're not aware that these things are happening, you're not only putting yourself at risk, because, you know, if I went through giving that person the $2,500 they were asking on that phone call, it would have been me out of pocket. But that could have been a call to you at work with the CEO. And I believe, and I think, Junior, if you remember that scenario the other day, where one of the banks was defrauded based on a WhatsApp message. If you remember that one, just give us a scenario as to what happened with that.
No, I remember clearly, because remember I told you guys I was a member of that bank, so I had to take keen interest in what happened in that case.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to share something with you. I've been to global conferences, right? For ISE2, ISACA, Cisco, and others. And one of the things I realized that they would emphasize on, for example, right? So we're using AI, and I know a lot of persons in the Caribbean will be using it. But
yeah,
the average person would say that, hey, all of this don't really affect me. Or the other business would say, hey, this won't affect me. But for example, insurance or even healthcare, right? Or even financial institution. All right, so Karen wants a loan from my bank, right? And he applies for a loan. Now, based on the data that I had of Karen probably a year ago, it would have stated that Karen was not in a suitable financial position to get a loan. Now, let's say over the past 6 months or a year, you've gotten a stable job and been doing fine. You meet all the criteria to get a loan, right? However, the AI was not updated, right? So it will still deny Karen from getting that loan, even though your financial situation has changed. So even things like this, we look at like model drift, because that would be a model drift within, because you have to continuously train these systems in order for them to work efficiently, because once that system gets outdated, it will start giving you like outdated results. And we've seen cases where persons like bring organization to court because they feel that they were discriminated against.
Mm.
And so you have to be mindful of all of them things that you're playing around with AI. So I'm not saying that organizations shouldn't use it, but be sure that the one that you're using or have a list of approved systems that are approved AI that can be used within the organization, because when you have your data scattered all over the place, because even recently we saw where LinkedIn posted a privacy update to say that all persons on LinkedIn data will now be used to train their AI systems, where you can go into the privacy settings and actually opt out of using your data, but the average person wouldn't know that. So LinkedIn is using your data to train its AI to do, I don't know what, you don't know what, but it's using your data. Same goes for ChatGPT. When you're using it, there are ways to disable things within ChatGPT, so it does not use the data that you've inputted to continuously train that AI model. Other than that, if you don't do that, then you know anything you put in somebody on the other end can reverse that prompt and get the same thing. So let's say you put in some code for a software you're building for Freedom 106.
Yeah.
You put in that code info is there later tonight, I reverse that prompt, I get all of that code. I end up building the application before you.
So what would be pro and con to having your data be a part of training a training an AI model? And you know, what would be another con? You gave a very good one right there.
I don't think there is any cons as yet, you know. To not allow your data to be utilized, because for now we only see pros as in like business use, because for business use you don't want sensitive data, because remember when persons are pasting stuff in ChatGPT, they don't really specify what it is that, or I'd say block out some of the confidential stuff. You wouldn't want to put mm-hmm. Rose as the person and Freedom 106 as the organization, and you find persons doing that. So what I'll do, I'll be doing research on things happening in Trinidad, and AI sometimes spits out something about Trinidad, right?
Yeah.
105 and whatever, I got all of that information. But then the challenge is when I ask the AI for the credible source, which they got the information from, they can't really tell you where they got it from, but somebody actually put that data into the system. So as I said, I don't really see much con in opting out as yet, but we'll be always researching. So once there is cons in not being a part of that training data, we'll usually let our customers be aware that, hey, if you opt out, then you won't get this benefit or you won't have these things at your disposal. But currently we don't see any flaws or any downside to opting out of using your data for training purpose.
Okay. All right, now you mentioned that there's an upcoming webinar that you guys are going to be doing. Tell us more about that.
All right, so on Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025, we'll be hosting a webinar, our third annual cybersecurity webinar, which is dubbed basically From Awareness to Action, basically preparing businesses for AI readiness. I myself will be speaking. We'll have other international speakers among local speakers where we'll dive into like a lot of these security risks.
I helped me the evening. Born again, salvation and me ticket. Come in and go play for slips like the man them in the cricket. Now they leave, but we got this still like kick it. No me but not Satan. Like the meeting and the skillet. Holy Ghost, fire, and the spirit.
-tech.com, and once you enter the website, there'll be a pop-up for you to click to register. You can also visit like our Facebook page or our social media, or even give us a call at 223-8324 and we could walk you through the registration process.
Okay, no problem. Give us the website again.
It's www.800-tech.com.
Lovely. Now, before we wrap up, Junior, what would you say, give us some advice for the businesses to ensure that AI helps them rather than harms their businesses?
All right, so you know my usual point. I usually tell organizations to seek professional advice, because a lot of organizations, what they do is, and I was guilty of this back a few years, where we have just one guy working in IT. I was that guy, and I told myself I could manage the entire infrastructure and all of that. But then there were a lot of stuff that I wasn't aware of, seeing that I wasn't a specialist at that time. Now that I'm a cybersecurity specialist, I realize that a lot of these IT guys still have that problem, thinking that, oh yes, we are secured or we are doing the right thing. But my thing is for you, reach out to a specialist, a managed service provider, a consultant, let them have a look at what it is that you're doing, what you're trying to achieve, and then from that, you basically develop an AI use policy or some AI standard operating procedure to basically guide the organization on how to use AI effectively or how to get the best out of AI without exposing the organization.
Lovely. Junior, give us the social media handle for 800 Tech. And if people want to keep in contact with you and learn more about the cybersecurity landscape and all the risks and conversation that you bring, where can they find you as well?
All right. So as I said, it's 800-Tech on LinkedIn. Same thing on Facebook. If you want to email us, it's info@800-tech.com. For me, Junior Gilpin on LinkedIn, I don't really do other social medias. I have a Facebook account, but that's not really in my name, so I don't really. That's security stuff, so.
That's perfectly fine. Junior, as always, thank you for joining us on the Digital World. Another great conversation and a very important one as well. Look forward to having you back on the program in the near future.
Definitely. And as I said, we just want to invite persons to just come enjoy the webinar because there will be a lot of tips and, you know, exciting times ahead for persons, especially entrepreneurs and business executives.
Lovely, lovely. Thanks again, Junior. Look forward to seeing you again.
All right. Thanks, man.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.